donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All right, we're back. And Joe, ask you a question here. Joe, where did we get the divine institution of human government? From
well,
who?
That's easy, from God.
From God, right. Now, where did
we got the divine institution from marriage, from God.
Where did we get the laws? Because we have one absolute, one divine lawgiver.
Right. And well, that would have to be the supreme judge of the universe because he's the king, judge, and lawgiver. So that would be God.
So in the courts, they often use the term established law. It's established law. It's precedent, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's only one accurate and one absolute authoritative source of established law. There's only one in existence, and that's
God.
God's Word, the King James Bible, right here.
Yeah.
This is a book of law.
Book.
Now, listen, many times when I've been arrested for preaching out in front of those bloody abortion mills and I've ended up in court, well, guess what? I could defend myself with my own venue, and I did that. I chose the King James Bible because it's the Bible that is a law book that's an established from a sovereign nation. So it is a book of law, and when they said, who established what sovereign nation? King James of England, 1611.
And yeah, so, that's right.
And so here now, when we talk about, and that's the only book that you can actually, in most countries in the world will allow you to use that as your book of law. Now, here...
I don't think you ought to try it in Iran or Iraq or a couple places like that with the Muslims, right?
Well, guys have done it, though.
They have. Oh.
Yep. And so, anyhow, so what's happening now is we're going to listen to Donald Trump because they don't get it, you see. When it comes to child killing, what exceptions does God's Word, the Bible, give?
It doesn't.
No exceptions at all.
Exceptions.
No exceptions at all. It gives you no exceptions. No. So who has already established a law that says abortion is murder, period, and it is unlawful?
God,
okay.
Well, I mean, it's pretty clear, right?
Right.
Not hard to understand at all.
There's no stuttering there. Now,
no.
The problem we have in this country is we have a whole lot of professing Christians that don't really understand the Word of God. I mean, they really, if they do understand it, they don't believe it. And I'm talking about people like even some of those tonight that were on Fox News that were professing, I'm pro-life, and even that that governor, that, what's her name? The one out there from South Dakota.
Christy Noem.
Yeah. Even she was saying how she's pro-life, but she believes that the states should decide the laws on abortion. No, God says he's decided that, and abortion is murder. God has already ruled on that. It's right there in the book. If you care to read it, go to Genesis chapter 9, right?
Right.
But anyhow... So we're going to hear from President Trump. Go ahead and take it away.
The Republican Party will always support the creation of strong, thriving, and healthy American families. We want to make it easier for mothers and families to have babies, not harder. That includes supporting the availability of fertility treatments like IVF in every state in America. Like the overwhelming majority of Americans, including the vast majority of Republicans, conservatives, Christians, and pro-life Americans, I strongly support the availability of IVF for couples who are trying to have a precious baby. What could be more beautiful or better than that? Today, I'm pleased that the Alabama legislature has acted very quickly and passed legislation that preserves the availability of IVF in Alabama. They really did a great and fast job. The Republican Party should always be on the side of the miracle of life and the side of mothers, father, their beautiful babies, and that's what we are. IVF is an important part of that, and our great Republican Party will always be with you in your quest for the ultimate joy in life. Many people have asked me what my position is on abortion and abortion rights, especially since I was proudly the person responsible for the ending of something that all legal scholars, both sides, wanted and, in fact, demanded be ended. Roe v. Wade. They wanted it ended. It must be remembered that the Democrats are the radical ones on this position because they support abortion up to and even beyond the ninth month. The concept of having an abortion in the later months and even execution after birth, and that's exactly what it is. The baby is born, the baby is executed after birth, is unacceptable, and almost everyone agrees with that. My view is now that we have abortion where everybody wanted it from a legal standpoint, the states will determine by vote or legislation or perhaps both. And whatever they decide must be the law of the land, in this case, the law of the state. Many states will be different. Many will have a different number of weeks, or some will have more conservative than others, and that's what they will be. At the end of the day, this is all about the will of the people. You must follow your heart or, in many cases, your religion or your faith. Do what's right for your family and do what's right for yourself. Do what's right for your children. Do what's right for our country and vote. So important to vote. At the end of the day, it's all about will of the people. That's where we are right now, and that's what we want, the will of the people. I want to thank the six justices, Chief Justice John Roberts, Clarence Thomas, Samuel Alito, Brett Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett, and Neil Gorsuch, incredible people, for having the courage to allow this long-term, hard-fought battle to finally end. This 50-year battle over Roe v. Wade took it out of the federal hands and brought it into the hearts, minds, and vote of the people in each state. It was really something. Now it's up to the states to do the right thing. Like Ronald Reagan, I am strongly in favor of exceptions for rape, incest, and life of the mother. You must follow your heart on this issue, but remember, you must also win elections to restore our culture and, in fact, to save our country, which is currently, and very sadly, a nation in decline. Our nation needs help. It needs unity. It needs us all to work closely together. Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative, everyone, we have to work together. We have to bring our nation back from the brink, and that's where it is. It's at the brink, and we will. We will do it. I promise you, we will do it. Always go by your heart, but we must win. We have to win. We are a failing nation, but we can be a failing nation no longer. We will make our nation great. We will make our nation greater than ever before. Thank you very much.
All righty, we are back. And, you know, Joe, the Bible talks a lot about whores, but it doesn't necessarily always refer to women as these whores. We see the Bible referring to judicial whores in there.
Right.
It's referring to, and today, this is what we have. We have, of course, in that day, they didn't really have media whores, but we have media whores, and we talked about the FBI and the Justice Department putting out all those fake stats. Well, of course, the media are whores. NBC, ABC, CBS, and CNN, all those, they just pick it up. There is no journalist. There are no journalists out there anymore, okay? And they just go with whatever the left tells them to go with. Now, you have, and especially in New York City, you have judicial whores. You have people that are so corrupt. I mean, just so corrupt. And, of course, one of them is that Attorney General Letitia James. Court refuses Trump bond. And so, do you want to go ahead and do this? Then go ahead.
Oh, I was just, when I saw that, I wanted to scream. This court in New York, you know, where the judges and prosecutors have come together. They basically have refused his appeal bond in the fraud case. Remember, the appeals court said, well, they dropped down to the bond of $175 million. But now they're claiming, and you got to, you know, dig through the Knight Specialty Insurance. Newsweek came out and said, we'll not be able to post the bond for Trump. But that's not what I find. It came out that they're saying they didn't accept the bond from this insurance. And there's a battle on Tisha James, says she's going to start, you know, going after his property, and they want the full, you know, $450 million bond. And as I'm reading through this, it's very confusing, because now they're saying he must post this bond to prevent James, but then they're saying, well, he can't, but the insurance company said his bond, his company can post the money for Trump, that they're just not allowing it to be accepted. So there are two sides both saying different things, and late in the day I couldn't find out who's telling the truth, but I assume it's the Trump side that's telling the truth.
Yeah, they are, absolutely. You know, and here, remember on a numerous occasions that Arthur Engoron, you know, he came out way before there was a trial.
Right. He said Trump was guilty before the trial started. Now, that right there is a mistrial. You can't have a judge saying the defendant is guilty before he even starts the trial. So right there, it should be thrown out of court.
Right. But in New York City especially, the courts are so corrupt. I mean, and you've got that Governor Auk has said when business started moving out, large out of New York, saying if they do that to Trump, they'll do that to us, and especially the real estate. And she was saying, wait a minute, don't move. We're not going to treat everybody like we treat Trump.
Yeah, well, if you do that to Trump, what's going to keep you from doing that to me, right?
Right. So there you go. So, I mean, but to say that, and what she was literally saying is, look, we're discriminating. We're discriminating against Trump.
Right. So the law is not the same for everybody. She came right out and said, no, there's no equal justice under the law, which is the basic tenet of our whole entire legal system for the country. So if you make an exception for one, you make exception for all others, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They've got no legitimacy at all. No legitimacy at all. They're in New York. Those courts there. Letitia James is, look, the two biggest court crooks, the two biggest crooks by far in that courthouse is Judge Arthur Engoron and Letitia James. They are the two biggest Trump's crooks out there. There you go.
I tell you, I've never seen things so crazy. I want to do something very different. I saw something on the internet. I went and looked. And believe it or not, here's a warning. It's dated 8 April, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, that's today, right?
Right.
And listen to this. Hand sanitizer, aloe gel, recalled over warnings it could cause comas or blindness. These products were sold back between May 21, you hear that? May 21, October 23, and the warning is coming out, and it's coming out for 40 lots of Aruba Aloha hand sanitizer gel and Aruba Aloha Acolata gel, because they contain methanol. And it said here that methanol exposure can cause nausea, vomiting, headache, blurred vision, coma, seizures, permanent blindness, as well as permanent damage to the central nervous system, or even death. And now, the big sentence, get this. Now listen, folks. Customers are being told to stop using the products. Aren't we a little late to be given out a warning this serious, Pastor Ernie? I mean, this is crazy. And they're talking about another aloe bomb. Florida company recalls hand sanitizer due to benzene. As I scroll down through this thing, another, there's a Disney product sanitizer they're recalling. All of a sudden, they're recalling potentially, during the pandemic, FDA created a list of over 600 potentially dangerous hand sanitizers after discovering an uptick that had been made with methanol rather than the improved ethanol alcohol. And methanol is a industrial, not safe to use in the skin, and it's deadly if it's ingested at all. And so here we go. They had some little things, but all these people, hand sanitizers are out everywhere. Some people are still using them, and some of them are extremely dangerous, folks. And it's nice of our government to be so upfront and telling us so quickly that it could cause comas, blindness, or death. So just thought I'd let you know, your government at work.
Yep.
The same CDC that said the COVID shot was safe.
Yeah,
just thought I'd mention that, right?
All right. Biden faces problem getting on Ohio ballot, state officials warn. So here, Obama Biden, they refer to him as president. I don't, because he's not a legitimate president. May have trouble getting on the general election ballot in Ohio because of an apparent conflict of state law related to the timing of the Democratic National Committee's nomination process. A deadline for certifying the party's presidential nominee to the Ohio Secretary of State's office, according to reports. Well, Joe, there's a lot going on out there on the... A lot of the chatter is saying that in June, they're going to dump Biden in June, and they're going to bring out their replacement candidate.
Mm.
And so this may be a part of what's going on. Anyhow, Ohio Secretary of State Frank LaRose flagged the issue in a letter sent to the Democratic chair, Liz Walters, on April 5th, which was obtained by several news outlets. Mr. LaRose wrote in the letter that August 7th, 2024, is the deadline to certify a presidential candidate to office, but the Democratic National Convention is scheduled for August 19th, 2024, so about a week too late for President Biden to appear on Ohio's general election ballot. Ohio state rules indicate the officials of a political party must certify the name of their chosen presidential candidate before the 19th day, before the day of general election, which is the 2024 election cycle, falls on November 5th, meaning the certification falls on August 7th. Now, again, like I said, there's a lot of chatter out there from supposedly insiders within the Democratic collective that say that it'll be in June that they're going to dump Biden, and that Biden is already aware of it. I don't know, but that's what the chatter says.
Well, he doesn't look like he's aware of anything some days. I've got, what was it, Biden? Oh, yeah. Two big things he's done lately. Oh, he keeps repeating that story. He's traveled 17,000 miles with Chinese leader Xi Jinping. They travel together around the world, okay, which never happened. I was out there at the Tibetan Plateau. He looked at me and said, "Can you define America?" You know, on and on. And then, guess what? Now he's claiming to be Greek, and he told some people the speech. His nickname is Bidenopoulos. Bidenopoulos, there in his home state of Delaware. So far, let's see if I've got this right. He said he's, he's Greek, and they call him Bidenopoulos. He's told people he's Irish, Polish, he's black, he's Puerto Rican, he's Jewish, he's Roman Catholic, and he's Greek. Oh, and, you know, he went to black gospel churches when he wasn't in mass or in synagogue. And all
and
I could
he hung around with a bunch of Ku Klux Klanners.
Yeah, the Ku Klux Klanners. Come on, man. I mean, I've never... We're going to... This guy's even running for president. I mean, he claims, you know, he grew up in this heavily Irish Catholic, but, you know, as well as he was in a heavily Italian-Polish community, and he was talking about his Irish ancestry, that he's Irish, and, you know, he sees him just on and on and on. I've never heard so much commoner in my life from one person. I mean, it doesn't stop, Pastor Ernie. He just keeps on coming up with this weird stuff, and everybody, oh, that's just Joe. He just lies like a rug. He just tells stories, and don't worry about it. You know, it's just totally normal, right?
Well, don't forget how many times he rode the train. Don't forget how many times he rode the train over that bridge that just collapsed.
Oh, yeah, that had no train on the bridge.
Yeah, well, don't forget,
it's
too.
Not that it collapsed. There was no train there.
Yeah, but don't forget about Corn Pop.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one, too. But
you don't, so you don't want him.
So he's also a tough guy.
Yeah, so there you go. That's Joe Obama, Biden. But, you know, here's the interesting thing. You're always talking about the left out there, how the Republicans are for the rich guy. The vast majority of billionaires are all Democrats. And here you have raised right now, the Democrats have raised in their war chest, according to what they're reporting, $192 million cash on hand, where President Trump only has $93 million cash on hand.
Well, they say that's going to turn around now that he's got the nomination sewed up and the other donors are joining in. So I don't know. That's what several headlines read, that he's going to start bringing in the big bucks after that big fundraiser in Florida. I guess that was a record-breaking fundraiser. So
that record-breaking fundraiser in Florida was $65.6
million. Wow, that's above how high I can count.
Yeah.
Especially in dollars, right?
Yep, there you go.
Hey, I've got one. You know, we've been talking about the cartels and the pedophiles. There's a story out there. It's at the Conservative Institute, Ryan Ledendecker. And writer Todd Benson went deep. Todd Benson went deep inside the Mexican cartel's gang territory and learned many shocking things happening behind the scenes, including pedophiles and killers paying cartel members to sneak them into the United States at any cost. He embedded within the La Lentia cartel territory, a vast high desert region there west of Ciudad Juarez, to document the migrant crisis that few ever see. And he documented the smuggling of these dangerous criminals into America. And he noticed that most of the migrants freely turn themselves over and they don't show up into hearings. But he said deep in cartel, just miles away from these, when this is happening, the entirely different approach. And here at great expense, they do everything they can to avoid law enforcement. And he was talking about how their holes are constantly being cut in the border fencing, and the American contractors hired to repair the holes are used to the job, saying as soon as they patch a hole, a new one's cut further down the line because there are no border guards to watch the border. And so we have these private contractors driving up and down there. When they find a hole, they get out and they fix it. And it's been going on because, and this idea of these gotaways, and they're talking about over 2 million gotaways since Biden, of course, took over. And in some sections of the border, Benjamin said there are over 200 gotaways every single night. No telling, but all we know is that he was able to document murderers, rapists, these pedophiles, terrorists, they're all paying. If you got the money, they get you in. You almost never get caught if you pay enough money. And we've been telling people this, and now I got other reporters running around that were embedded verifying what we've known for a couple of years now.
For several years we've been talking about this.
Several years, yeah.
Well, you know, we were talking about these illegal aliens all the way back. I had Pat Buchanan on when we talked about those way, way back in the 90s and that. And so,
now it's big news, huh?
And the actual numbers, Joe, the actual numbers are between 40 and 50 million illegal aliens in this country right now.
Now, yep. That's the illegals.
Yep.
Well, remember how many years they kept saying there's, 10 or 11 million in the country? 10 million, there's 10
it was,
million.
It was 11 million, 11 million for all those years, yeah.
Yeah.
It never changed. You know, Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs legalizes human composting as eco-friendly alternative to burial and cremation.
Yep.
This is evil. That is an evil, evil, evil woman. She is a true Democrat, a Deathocrat. And she's crooked, and she was corrupt. We saw what happened with the elections there. We saw there in Arizona how they're involved in Maricopa County with the drug cartels. Just totally corrupt. I mean, completely corrupt. A real, real part of the Democratic Communist Party. And so Democratic Katie Hobbs of Arizona has signed a bill that will make human composting legal in the state of Arizona. Hobbs, there's a picture here of a great big container of human compost.
Right. They take a human body and they chop it all up in little pieces like, you know, they used to do with fish to make fish fertilizer. And they chop it up and spin it around a few times and put it out there as the... let it decay and ferment and sell it as compost. And I'm sure everybody's just dying to rush out and eat some fresh vegetables that have been growing in this kind of human compost, right?
Yes, this wicked, wicked woman, right. Governor Katie Hobbs, this wicked woman, unclean woman, signed the bill, 2081, known as the Grandpa in the Garden Bill, under law. The bill now allows...
It gets back to something made in the image of God. We don't have to treat with respect. We just throw it out there and use it to produce food for the masses, right? I mean, this sounds like something right out of Adolf Hitler rather than a, American, right?
Yeah, well, it saves people the money. They don't have to show any respect or any honor or any decency. And the states don't have to worry about burying anybody. You know, they're only people... And remember, it's the environment, it's bugs and fish and not people that count.
Right. And I just thought of something else, you know, especially if the, it's kind of an iffy case or something. There's no way to dig them up later to, verify with DNA testing or anything, right?
Yep.
So, it's a good way to make sure somebody permanently disappears.
Now, the process involves placing human bodies into large tanks containing wood, chips, straw, and other natural materials for about 6 weeks until the body turns into soil. That's what they're saying here. And then they chop it all up,
They don't mention that part, but it has to be chopped up to decompose. So, I still think, hey, folks, look at all those fresh grown tomatoes coming out of that state. I'd just rush out and buy them now while they're fresh.
It's amazing, yeah. Absolutely.
It's almost sounds like something that you would see on the Babylon Bee rather than reality, but it's true.
Yep. Here's two more, another report on two more Democrats. Sick nurse and husband charged with disturbing, charged with disturbing sex crimes following evidence of child pornography and bestiality. Police found a video of wife having sex with her Great Dane dogs. Here, this is from the Gateway Pundit. There, a local nurse and her husband, a former U.S. Navy sailor, has been arrested on multiple charges relating to sex crimes, including child pornography and bestiality. These two Democrats here, the shocking discovery was made following the seizure of phone belonging to the husband, who had been previously apprehended for indecent exposure. On March 13th, deputies from Precinct 3 responded to a distressing incident in the HEB Rayford Road, just outside Houston, where William Michael Mitchell Keene, 52, was caught following, and masturbating near young children. He was promptly arrested and charged with indecent exposure. The KHOU reported, and then here it goes on to say, the deputies not only identified the children Keene had been following, leading to further charges of indecency with a child by exposure. This is what the ACLU wants. This is what they want. They want all of, they want to legalize pedophilia. But a search warrant executed on Keene's phone revealed a horrifying cache of child sex assault images. And on March 27th, more gruesome aspect of the case unveiled when Jolie Keene, 53, a nurse by profession, was also arrested. The couple was charged after law enforcement found dozens of disturbing photos and videos on William Keene's phone, which included a video of Jolie Keene engaged in multiple sex acts with her Great Dane. These are true Democrats. These are, you know, they should run them for Congress, Senate Democrats. This is... The couple was arrested while their children, ages 18 to 10, along with three dogs, were placed in, in protective custody after police raided their residence. You would think that the 18-year-old wouldn't have to be. Of course, it might have been a girl. We don't know what kind of environment they were exposed to on a regular basis. Well, I can guarantee it wasn't a good one, would it be, Joe?
No, I would bet pretty heavy it wasn't a good, nourishing, healthy environment, no.
Okay, they were placed on, both secured bail released. Bail, Jolie Keene said at $5,000 and William Mitchell's $50,000. There you go, for their bail. Quite a difference between $5,000 and $50,000, huh?
Yeah, just a bit. Just a tad bit.
All right, we'll be back right after this.
A little girl lay dying. She was only 8 years old. She said, "I want to see the preacher." They left them alone. "Will you make me a promise?" she said as he walked in. He said, "Tell me what I can do." She said this to him. Said, "I know I'm dying, but that's not why I'm sad. I know I'll go to heaven, but what about Mom and Dad?" I told them a about Jesus, but I could not make them see. So when they come to my funeral, would you do this for me?
Tell Mom and Dad about Jesus and all the pain that he had to bear. Just tell Mom and Dad about heaven above, how that they can see me there. Tell Mom and Dad about Jesus, tell them what he's done for them. Tell Mom and Dad about Jesus, please. So I'll see them again.
She said they dropped me off at Sunday school, and I'm so glad they did. But how great it would have to be in a church service with them. She said, promise me you'll tell them. As she faded off to sleep, he said, sweetheart, don't worry. That's a promise that I'll keep.
Tell Mom and Dad about Jesus and all the pain that he had to bear. Heaven above, tell them they can see me there. Tell Mom and Dad about Jesus, tell them what he's done for them. Tell Mom and Dad about Jesus, please, so I'll see them again. Tell Mom and Dad about Jesus, please, so I'll see them again.
Tell Mom and Dad about Jesus. That's what we do here every day. And guess what? That was Samantha, that little girl. She's not so little anymore. And old Pastor Ernie. We're going to take some calls. So let's go out to San Diego and take Jack. Hey, Jack.
Yes, Pastor Ernie.
46 arrests made after trafficking sting in San Diego. 7 children were arrested. Did you know about all that? Or rescued?
No, I haven't heard about that.
Yeah, well, that just took place. And so you had 46 Democrats arrested after a sting operation right there where you are at.
Well, you kind of piqued my interest about the composting story. When my mother passed away, she donated her body to medical science through Loma Linda University, and it was to be used, I guess, as a cadaver for students. And then the story you were talking about, the composting, that kind of reminded me of Soylent Green when they were making protein cookies out of human bodies.
Yeah, the pills, bottles of pills, yep.
Yes. So, does the Bible talk about how you dispose of your body?
Yep, certainly does.
Death? Does it have, for instance, a preference between cremation and burial?
Oh, absolutely.
What are the instructions from the Bible?
The Bible is very, very clear. In every single case, it refers to burial and cremation was actually done as a way of disrespecting a person. In other words, to dishonor, they would literally dig up their bones and burn their bones. But so in the Bible, you'll always see in every case, what they did to honor in a burial was always to be buried. This is why
In the case of Jesus, I always get the impression he was in some type of a above ground tomb after the crucifixion. If he hadn't risen from the dead, how would they have eventually disposed of his body?
Well, they leave that he was in a sepulcher. I was in there where 99% they're sure that this is where Jesus was buried. It was dug out of stone. It was chiseled out of stone. A lot of work involved in doing that, but they have it usually in those cases where a whole family would be buried. There's usually like three sections inside that for the wealthy people. Others, they just put them in little sepulchers, and some are actually much smaller than our caskets today. But virtually, they're like stone caskets, you could say.
Okay, so are you saying this would have been the final resting place for Jesus if he did not rise from the dead?
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, well, that's interesting. So I guess from a practical purpose, I think it makes more sense for cremation. And a lot of people can't afford to get buried. But what is supposed to happen to you if you do get cremated instead of buried?
Well, you know, God makes it very, very clear that he has that there's nothing beyond his control. People, if you do get cremated, God can still... We never go out of existence. We change form, okay? And he can still resurrect your ashes and your molecules and give you a resurrected body.
So you're... That's interesting. So you're saying there's a certain aspect of immortality.
Well, absolutely. The Bible's pretty clear.
See, I bring that up because you kind of swerved into something. I was listening to a program over the weekend, and they were talking about artificial intelligence and how it is immortal.
I wouldn't say artificial intelligence is immortal.
No, it's artificial. Again, it's back to artificial. The very definition explains it. It's still man-created. It still depends on information put into it. You can have the greatest computer in the world. If you don't put anything into it, there's nothing there. It still has to be inputted in by man, and if it's done by man, it's fallible, period.
I'm going to read you some verses
very quickly. That's going to change, and probably rather shortly, when AI gets to the point of self-replicating. Self-replicating artificial intelligence will be at the point when they program themselves, and there'll be no human component into their...
Where will they get the information from?
Well, from the information that's being programmed right now.
Right. Again,
will be used
the information program now is being done by humans. It's fallible, period.
Okay, so right. Joe, tell me, what happens when they get to the point where they replicate themselves, including the programming?
God makes them go away then. We got to move on. And so let's go out
about
to Massachusetts.
I figure we won't be here to worry about it.
Right. You know, God says he's got that in complete control. Don't worry about it, but we're running out of time. Jeff in Massachusetts, very quickly, Jeff.
Oh, thanks, Pastor Sanders. What I see coming is Norm America having the rug pulled out of him and her, and Norm American blaming believers, conservatives, and Jews for their calamity. That's what I see coming. Because you see, because of Norm America, that's why we have all this nonsense of abortion and homosexual marriage, because Norm either votes for Democrats or Rhino Republicans or just doesn't care and goes along to get along. And you see, the church house is going to be under severe persecution. It'll be from your next door neighbor that blames you and any conservative talk show host or Christian talk show host for their calamity. I see ugly times coming to America. T tantamount to the Albanian Civil War and another civil wars in Latin America and Eastern Europe. What do you think, Pastor?
Well, we're going to talk about some of this tomorrow because what you're referring to is the DOJ's dangerous red flag distribution center that will target Americans, especially Christians. We'll hit on that tomorrow, but I'm out of time. Who do we have next? Okay, this will have to be the last call. Hey, Bob, you're in the air.
Okay, I know real quickly here. There's a Cardinal Wilton Gregory of Washington, D.C. He's saying that President Biden is like a cafeteria Catholic. Now, Biden says he is personally opposed to abortion, but has championed efforts to keep the procedure legal. And this Cardinal says, I would say that he's very sincere about his faith. What faith?
That's not a cardinal. That's a buzzard.
I mean, between the two of them, they can, you know, probably get on one of those little whatevers and fly away. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But anyway, I know you guys are running late. Thank you for what you're doing. You have a blessed night.
Thank you very much. How much time do we have there? Okay. Joe, you've got 7 minutes.
Last week we were trying to touch on things that had to do with the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, the seminal event in the history of the world. And we know that God the Father sent his only begotten Son to the end that all that believe in him, in Jesus, should not perish but have everlasting life. And we know when Christ was born that he had to have the human birth with a human mother. The Father was God. He had his birth. He had his ministry on earth. He had his horrible trial, his cruel trial and beating, his crucifixion, and then according to the exact words of Scripture, he spent 3 days and three nights in the tomb. And the third day, what? He rose again from the dead. All of this was for one purpose, to allow sinful man to be able to stand in the presence of a holy God. Christ came to take the sins of the world, pay the ultimate sacrifice, because the wages of sin are death. The wages of sin are death, because we have a holy, righteous, pure God cannot stand sin. And yet, mankind had free will. And there was a reason for that free will. We had the ability to choose to love God, worship God, accept God, or reject him, because God didn't want to make robots. He wanted love given to him freely, for those who would love him freely of their own volition. So his Son came, and from eternity, from the beginning of all things, if there was or forever, he knew he would have to go to the cross. And Jesus would have gone to the cross if there had only been just one or two people. He still would have taken those sins on that sinless, spotless soul, went to the cross at Calvary and paid the price, did a substitutionary death, so that all of us who believe in him and accept what he did for us, we will be able to stand in the presence of holy God, and Jesus himself can introduce us to the Father and say, here is this man without sin. He is covered in my blood. The price of his sin debt is paid in full. And it's like God has a giant eraser. God cannot forget, but it's like he has this eraser. When our sins have been forgiven, they are erased like they never existed. So there is truly only one way to get to heaven. You can't get there through the church, through a denomination, through good works, the philosophy, good living. There's only the one way, and Jesus made it very clear. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come unto the Father unless he goes through me, but by me, is what the wording is. We have to acknowledge then go to God the Father and acknowledge that we are the sinner, we need a Savior, and we are sorry that our sins placed His Son on that cross. Yes, our sins placed His Son, and we have to, with a repentant heart, ask the God for forgiveness for that, because there is a punishment for sin, and Christ paid that. John 3:36, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him. So we have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for us, he rose from the dead, and the gift he brought is eternal life. So when the Father forgives us, we can call upon Jesus and ask him to be the Messiah for us, our Savior, to be Lord of our life, all of our life, that we want to accept his gift, his loving gift of sacrifice and salvation and love, because he loved us enough to pay the price for us. And Jesus then will answer and give us that indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. We would become our own high priest. We become a temple. We get to house the Holy Spirit of God himself. Jesus said, I'm in the Father is in me, and I am in you. And that is our down payment on eternal life, and we become that born-again believer that Scripture talks about. When Jesus told Nicodemus, ye must be born again, we have that spiritual baptism through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God, and you will find in your life joy and peace and happiness that you've never, ever, ever known. And you will be on a path we talked about last week. You'll join that highway to heaven, that gospel church, becoming part of the gospel church.
1 minute. Church. 1 minute. Go ahead.
Take you all the way to heaven, and it's the road, the highway you can never be kicked off on. You can never lose your salvation if it's done properly. You've done it with a repentant heart. And it will be your responsibility to tell the story to others, your story, to preach to them, tell them about Jesus and about how they can have the same joy and peace and happiness and eternal life that you have on that gospel highway. And this is something only you can make this decision. It's your choice. God leaves it totally up to you. Accept him or reject him. You can go to heaven or you can go to hell. He forces no one. So you need to make that choice, and you need to make it soon. We never know when our number is up, when our time, when we'll be called.
Our time is up for tonight, so it's where at that point that we get to. Every night we go and we say, good night.
Night.
We say, God bless.
God bless.
Thanks for being here with us tonight. And then we always say, always, always.
Always, always.
Keep fighting the fight.
Fight.
Have a good night there, Ken.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.